Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 28, verses 8 through 15. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the 28th chapter. So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. When they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if it comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. The story has been spread among the Jews to this day. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
More to be believed is truthful Mary alone than a whole crowd of deceitful Jews. That's a lost phrase from the Easter sequence, Christians to the Paschal Victim. It does raise a challenging intersectional question for us, doesn't it? Should we delete it because we might fear that it would promote anti-Semitism? Or do we need to recover it because it urges us to believe the testimony of women, even just one of them? Well, dear Christian friends, to ask that kind of a question is going to show you the failures that we will always have if we are going to let political or social thinking determine what we are going to pray and what we are going to sing in the church, rather than letting the scriptures and their teaching guide us, no matter what people think we are saying. Today's scriptures urge us also to believe Mary's soul testimony, joined then with the other Mary, to believe it more than the false testimony of the Jewish crowd that is gathering together again against the Lord and against his Christ, who just 3 days earlier had held a kangaroo trial, who in their earnestness to see Jesus killed, failed to eat the Passover meal, and are therefore, according to the law, no longer worthy to be called Israelites at all, and who then set out to bribe the spread of a very laughable myth. This crowd and their alternate story must not be believed, and it must not be believed on the merits of that story, because it is false. Now, the Roman Church removed this phrase all the way back in the 16th century from the sequence. The Lutheran Church actually didn't, at least not at first. And our reason was not hatred of the Jews, but it was a love of the Bible. It was a love of this testimony from Matthew. Wednesday's lone testimony, remember, from Mary, should have been enough for the disciples. Why didn't they believe her? Today's strange plot, on the other hand, should convince no one. Mary and Mary are met by Jesus in the same mixture of faith and unbelief that we were just talking about on Wednesday from Mark's gospel. And their testimony is nevertheless true. We, the church, believe them. We believe them not because it's fashionable to believe such people or because it's politically correct to believe such people. No. We believe them because the Holy Spirit and his scriptures do not lie to us. Their testimony is reliable. Their testimony is corroborated by many witnesses. We know that Christ indeed from death is risen. A That's how the next line of the sequence hymn sings. And the point of it is clear, that Mary has now spoken this and told it to us in the church, and we have believed her also. And so then we are going to confess him, Christ indeed from death is risen, our new life obtaining. Long before the questions and the theories of our cynical time, and without the help of their dogmas, the Christian church, the Lutheran church even, believes the testimony of three and of two, yes, even of one woman. Yes, we believe it above the word of a crowd of much more prominent and very important men, the Jewish leaders. Briefly, let us consider then the plot and the tale, which indeed still gets bandied about to this day. The chief priests and the elders take counsel together, and they decide they're going to buy off the guards. Presumably they're Roman guards, so some have suggested they might be the Jewish temple guards. They furnish them with an alibi to pay them off, enough, a sufficient amount, so that they will repeat the story. This very conspiracy has actually sometimes been projected onto the apostles and the Christian church too. That we got together, that the apostles all got together, they agreed on their story about Jesus rose from the dead, and then they kept telling it until it succeeded, and well, there you go, there's the origins of the Christian church. That explanation fails, though, on the point of the profit of doing it. There was no hard money in it for the apostles. Rather, they got pain and suffering. They got imprisonment. Finally, they were given martyrdom. The price is not sufficient enough to make that story true. Now, the Jews did. They gave the soldiers a profit. They gave them money. And they gave them an alibi to repeat, but not an alibi for those soldiers, an alibi for the Jews and their arguments. Because they also saw the central matter that we just sang about in today's hymn, the matter that St. Paul inspires in 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ is not raised from the dead, our Christian faith and our Christian religion is in vain. That's why the question of veracity matters in all of this. If the dead body of Jesus can be produced, then our claims are all refuted right away. More would die for us than just our credibility. Because that's all that it takes. That's why the crowd of Jewish leaders are the ones who need an alibi in all of this. Because they need a reason why they can't produce his body. And the best that they could come up with is, my dog ate my malefactor. Now, by means of a bribe, they bring the soldiers into their deceit and their falsehoods too. But the lies don't hold much weight for two reasons. In the first place, how is it that sleeping men see what happened? How is it that they knew that it was the disciples that came in and took the body away? And if they did, if they were in their sleep seeing all of this happening, why did they do nothing? They are the ones who have the weapons. How did some unarmed men, who seem to be rather cowardly in every other situation we've seen, overpower them? You see, the alibi itself is very weak. Weaker still, though, and the reason why you need to have a sum of money and a promise to keep them out of trouble in order to get it spread, weaker still is the reality that sleeping guards are people who have already proven themselves very unfaithful and untrustworthy. I mean, such a guard can't be trusted to do their job anymore. That's why the punishment for such things, at least historically, is execution if you fall asleep on the watch. Even if they would tell such a risky story, who would be inclined to believe it? No one should be. So if we want to consider the events in the tales of Easter and how we should speak about them and sing about them, apart from the scriptures, apart from the apostolic testimony, apart from the faith that we confess and we sing, with some other framework instead, we are going to find always impasses. You're all familiar with the exchange where one person contradicts the other's story and then they are asked, what? Are you calling me a liar? You know what the polite and the sociable response is to that. Well, no, I'm not calling anyone a liar here, but no one's really quite sure what you're supposed to say after that, right? Because the alternatives are kind of limited. Either you're a truth teller or you're not. And so it remains an impasse between us Christians and skeptics who are determined from the start, of course, that no one could rise from the dead. That's the main reason Jesus didn't. But it also remains the impasse between us and Jews, at least any who are following the crowd of their rabbis and their leaders. Our faith is not only confirmed, but it's also falsifiable, which is a great strength. Show us the dead body of Christ, and we will admit that he is no Christ at all. But since he indeed is risen, proven by a living body which appeared to the Marys and to so many, and also proven by the sound testimony of many witnesses, including those, we cannot shrink from the conclusions for our salvation, and every other conclusion that must be drawn from the resurrection of this Jesus either. And that's what we are going to sing about. So let's welcome Mary's testimony once more. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.